All right. 071375, please. Dotson versus BRP U.S. Incorporated. Okay, Ms. Newcomb.
Good morning.
Good morning. Are you wondering about your rebuttal?
Yes, I did not schedule any.
Do you want some?
I would like 3 minutes, please.
Okay, would you redo that?
Thank you. My name is Paula Newcomb. I'm here for Brian Dotson. He is the appellant. He was employed by Bombardier, which is BRPUS, a marine boat building facility in southern Illinois. This is a company that I believe is incorporated in Delaware, also in other states. The parent company, I believe, in the reply brief was Wisconsin. Mr. Dotson was employed for about 5 years. He was in the department called the Grind and Trim. He is approximately 35 years of age. He's a rather short, stocky man, and his job was to get under boats and grind off the fiberglass and trim the boats on the bottom to make them smooth before painting. That was his duty. He sustained a back injury while doing this, and in approximately January of 2004, he reported that he was having back pain. He was referred to the company doctor, who was Dallas Lipscomb. He was drug tested, as is the company policy. He was sent to a chiropractor, and then ultimately he was sent to the company surgeon, a referred physician, Dr. Roots, where he had surgery for his back injury, and he had 4 screws in his back, and he never was able to return to the job because
right.
He's,
but and, right. And Ms. Newcomb, that's where I want to come in here, because in his employee handbook, in boldface, it says an employee who is unable to work for more than 12 weeks will be considered automatically terminated at the expiration of that period, regardless of the reason for inability to work. And indeed, that's what happened to him. He was terminated when he wasn't able to come back to work after the 12 weeks. Eventually, his workers' comp runs out. But I find it very difficult in the face of that language in the policy to see how there is a genuine issue of fact that his termination was in retaliation for anything, you know, workers' comp, FMLA, you name it. He was terminated in accordance with this very cut-and-dried policy. Again, it might not be the most family-friendly policy, but there it is, and he knew what it was.
Well, the handbook does have the language, but it runs afoul of the Illinois work comp.
I don't see why it does. Why is that? Illinois workers' compensation law just says you can't be terminated in retaliation for exercising your right to claim workers' comp.
Right.
And there's no – I don't see anything in this that suggests retaliation for that. He could have been gone for more than 12 weeks to care for an ailing parent. He could have been gone for more than 12 weeks because he was injured and drawing workers' comp. He could have been –
well, the difference in the 12-week policy and the policy in this case is that the 12-week policy, if you invoke it under FMLA, you are not paid for your time off. If your father is ill, you have a due child in the family.
Well, it's FMLA time runs concurrent with these various other.
Right. Well, that's the issue. Can Bombardier force him to take FMLA time when work comp statute gives him the right to be off and receive pay?
Well, they've cited 4 FMLA regulations that clearly seem to anticipate and allow that employers will run FMLA time concurrent with workers' comp time. I mean, is there any statutory or regulatory authority to the contrary?
Illinois has not enacted, to my knowledge, any statute.
It's not up to Illinois.
Pardon?
It's not up to Illinois. It's up to the FMLA. It's up to the federal government to say whether this – in a sense, what's the nature of the guarantee that statute gives you? Does it give you the right to come back to your job at the end of the 12 weeks, whether or not you've been paid? It says with or without pay. Or does it give you the right to kind of stack these various reasons for time off? And the FMLA regulations to which Judge Rovner just referred clearly say that it's the first. It says you've got this 12-week period. You can't be told, oh, you were gone for 12 weeks, we're not going to take you back. But, on the other hand, it permits this policy of having you run them concurrently, the two forms of leave concurrently.
And
the regular federal regulations let you do that.
Run it concurrently.
Yeah.
In effect, it is abrogating the state law on the employee's rights to.
Why wouldn't you see it as abrogating FMLA? I mean, it just means that the federal statute doesn't create any longer period of time that you can be off, and the employer's policy is neutral with respect to the reason for the termination.
Well, this was a summary judgment motion that there was no issue of fact as to why he was terminated. The employer in the deposition vacillated between whether or not the firing was for the FMLA because Mr. Dotson said that he revoked his application for FMLA. In fact, in paragraph 13 of the complaint, we've alleged that the plaintiff rejected the requirement that he take time from work pursuant to the Family Medical Leave Act, but advised defendant that he was claiming time away from work due to his work-related injury.
Yeah, I fear that that's a misconception because an employer can run FMLA time concurrent with workers' compensation time. And, as we've noted, the defendants have cited the four FMLA regulations that clearly anticipate that there are employers that will do this. There appears to be no regulation against it. If there is such a regulation, it hasn't been cited to us, and it would be inconsistent with the regulations that we've already noted. So,
all right. Well, I would like to refer, I believe there's just an inherent conflict in the application of the federal FMA provision and a company, a corporation, that chooses to come to Illinois and invoke the corporate laws of Illinois and do business here. They assume the responsibilities of the Illinois Workers' Comp Act. They also assume the responsibilities.
Well, they've deducted them. He got his workers' comp for long after February 24, 2004. He was receiving payments, right,
until summer. But under the workers' comp and statute, you cannot be fired for exercising your rights.
For reason of exercising your workers' comp. Nothing in Illinois law says you have an automatic right to your job back after the full period of time you're on workers' comp.
No, but you can't be fired for choosing that, and he was fired even before his surgical procedure occurred.
Because he'd been gone for 480 hours. I mean, their letter tells why.
There are also other issues about the way they computed his hours. There was in the record at least one week they allocated 55.5 hours to him. And when they were questioned in deposition about how did they figure that, she could not explain how they figured that other employees are working that much rather than a 40-hour work week. We don't have a case reconciling the state law of the workers' compensation prohibition in Kelsey versus Marwell, Illinois Supreme Court case. You can fire in Illinois for almost any reason except two, and that is exercising your rights under work comp or for whistleblowing.
I might point out that you are, that white light means you're in your rebuttal time if you did want to save.
All right, I do. Thank you.
Mr. Lynch. Do you want to start out with that last point? That BRP assessed him over 55 hours of time during one of the weeks he was off. So it did seem that the company was assessing him more absentee hours.
Well, Your Honor, that point has been raised in the brief and addressed in the brief and as follows. The Chris Aiken, when she was giving her deposition, was referring to a printout of the hours that had been missed. Her explanation was it looks like that the plant perhaps was working overtime at that point. Now,
why isn't that evidence that the claim of excessive absenteeism is pretty.
Well, for several reasons, Your Honor. One is that the at the time of termination, in that final letter, I believe dated February 24, plaintiff was given the opportunity to say, in effect, if you feel that we've miscalculated, if we're doing something wrong, tell us what it is. That never occurred. I don't think that plaintiff has simply raised the question. They haven't presented solid evidence that there was a miscalculation. Ultimately, even, you know, although we don't concede there was a miscalculation, if there was, it doesn't affect anything here. Because as of February 24, the date of termination, Mr. Dotson's inability to work continued for months after that. He did not even get a light duty release, I think, for perhaps 4 months after that. And the full duty release came in August. So for purposes of does this create an issue of material fact, it does not. And I would respectfully assert that. Now, the terms of this policy are very clear. It is clearly stated, and the record establishes that this has been in effect at BRP in Benton, Illinois, since 2001, that it is in a written handbook that was passed out to all of the employees. Mr. Dotson acknowledges that he got the handbook. He signed a written acknowledgement that he had the handbook. And I would note that the policy not only states that that termination will occur after 12 weeks for any reason, it also states very clearly that FMLA time and workers' compensation time will run concurrently, which is acceptable, which is legal under the FMLA, and it is something of which BRP implemented in its policy. And so there was no mystery about this. And
does the record show instances of other workers at BRP who took workers' comp who were terminated for failing to be able to come back at the end of that 12-week period?
Well, I know there is one case in the record that's referred to specifically, and that is the Milligan case. And, in fact, that ended up in summary judgment in the district court a few years ago in the Southern District with Judge Foreman deciding that case. And that was the same policy, the very same policy, workers' comp situation, and retaliatory discharge case was brought. And, indeed, that case was determined in favor of BRP. No appeal was taken from that case. I haven't attempted to discuss it here because it isn't
particularly
precedential.
That
would be one, Your Honor, and I believe that, and I don't recall off the top of my head to the extent to which Chris Aiken was asked to go over specific employees, but indeed it has occurred, and she'd mentioned that people have been terminated under the policy for other reasons as well. So, Your Honor, there is no evidence, there is nothing in the record to suggest that it has not been uniformly applied.
How many employees does the company have?
I think in Benton, I'm speaking from memory, and Benton is not the only location of the company, but I think it's between 200 and 300 employees, I believe, something like that. And anyway, what we have is a situation. We know that Mr. Dotson, in fact, had already run up some time for other reasons before the injury, and that's in the record. But at the time when the injury occurs and Mr. Dotson is asking for time off, he gets a letter, and the letter states very specifically, here's how much time you have left. And that was in January of 2004. In February, there's another letter that says, now you have this much time under the policy. So when the letter comes on February 24 of 2004 to state, under the policy, your employment has been terminated, there is no mystery about that. It's been set out very clearly, and plaintiff had every reason to know that the policy existed and the conditions under which he was working. Plaintiff has contended, I think, in effect, that FMLA, that there may be some conflict between the FMLA and Illinois law. And I submit very strenuously that is not the case. What the BRP policy basically sets out the provisions of the FMLA and accords all of the rights that are granted under the FMLA, and basically, as I think Judge Wood stated, does not give employees any extra rights beyond what is required by the FMLA. So at the end of 12 weeks, there certainly has been no violation of the provisions of the FMLA, but BRP has elected, you know, as a clear matter of policy, to state anybody off for any reason that exceeds the 12 weeks, that position will not be held. That position is terminated. And that is what occurred here. It is not a question of FMLA being used as a sword. So there is no conflict between FMLA and state law, and we have never argued to the contrary. And clearly under Illinois law, there are a number of cases that indicate that absenteeism can be an appropriate ground for terminating employment, even when the absenteeism is said to be the result of a compensable injury. And that being the case, I mean, that is what we're dealing with here. The Illinois case law does indicate that, does it commend this type of policy? It simply says it is permissible, that an absenteeism policy that's clearly implemented, uniformly applied, comports with Illinois law. Plaintiff has, in the brief, argued the Sikirka decision, which actually was decided after summary judgment was granted in the district court, and really raises that for the first time on appeal. And it's not to say that the Sikirka decision had been reported, but there is a set of facts there that obviously were argued in the trial court and on appeal in Sikirka that I suppose could have been argued here. Sikirka, however, is distinguishable, and Sikirka, interestingly, has a policy that seems up to a point to be similar to what BRP had here, which was that it tracks the 12 weeks of FMLA, where the employer in that case ran afoul of the Third District Appellate Court, was that it allowed some discretion. It allowed an extra month, at least up to an extra month, that where the management could kind of think about it or see if they would make some exceptions. Nothing like that occurs here. It's a black and white policy. It's a bright line. And then there was also evidence there that, in effect, that it could be argued that the employer in Sikirka manipulated the medical treatment of that plaintiff by, you know, refusing to approve surgery for a period of 2 months without telling him that that was going to be counted against him under the absenteeism policy. And then, you know, evidence that if he had had the surgery, you know, at the start of 2 months instead of the end of 2 months, that he could have come in under the wire as far as the policy goes. We have no facts like that here. So, Your Honors, I do believe that this is a clear-cut case, that it is a uniform absenteeism policy. It has been uniformly applied, and there is no evidence to the contrary. And I believe that the legal arguments offered by plaintiff do not in any way support reversal of the district court's decisions. And I welcome any further questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Leach. How many minutes? 2 minutes left. Okay, Ms. Newcomb.
I began to talk about what was in the complaint, that the plaintiff here rejected the requirement.
Ask you a favor. Could you talk in front of the mic? Otherwise, you won't get recorded, and we won't, you know, we need that.
All right. That he had rejected the requirement that he take time from the Family Medical Leave Act, and I believe that Your Honor indicates that they have the authority to run that concurrently, but there is an issue that has to be resolved whether between the application of the state law. Securica is the only case in Illinois that does speak to both the application of FMLA and the conflict between the workers' compensation statute. It is current. It is 2007 law. The last case, which says Heartline, in Illinois Supreme Court case, is you can be fired if you have excessive absenteeism despite the fact that it might be related to a work-related injury. But what is excessive is a question of fact under the facts of the individual case. Now, Securica looks at that and says under these facts, there was a delay in getting the medical treatment to him. It was controlled by the employer. And the same facts are here present in Securica as in our case, which is how the FMLA has to interplay with these handbooks and what a corporate employer such as a factory can do with the employee. It's very close on point to our case. And as in our case, the medical was controlled. The medical treatment was controlled by the employer. He was sent to their general physician, then the contractor, chiropractor they referred him to, then to the surgeon they referred him to. This timeline was all controlled by the employer. There is a dispute in the letters when you are going to be terminated. There's a dispute. If you look at the letters in the record, one will say February 23rd, one will say February 8th. Then I said they assessed him 55 hours, which effectively exhausts his time early. There are numerous record evidence in the record where I wrote on his behalf, and he objected to having to apply FMLA to this time because he was entitled to workers' compensation disability payments and be off of that. And it is true that an employer can create a handbook and you have sort of a contractual agreement there that you are working under, but that only is valid if it complies with Illinois law. If it runs afoul of the workers' compensation statute and the rights, then the policy is it's an invalid policy. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Newcomb, and thank you, Mr. Lynch. And the case will be taken under advisement. Everyone have a good trip back. And the court will stand in recess until tomorrow morning at 9:30. Thank you all. Thank you.